Good morning, everyone. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kapatruvyascha Kripa Sindhubyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivansari Gaura Maktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is verse 219. We'll chant together and we'll read a few more verses. A few more verses. And we'll come to purport, which will summarize what we've read and explain. Okay, let's chant this. Kevalas sharupa gyan hoy shantarashe Purnaisharja prabhu gyan gyan adhika hoy dashe Okay, what is that? All that mean? Translation by Svangrace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On the platform of Shantarasa, well, let's do the word for word. Kevala, only Sharupagyana, knowledge of the constitutional position of oneself. Hoy, there is Shantarashe in the mellow of neutrality. Purna Aishwarya Prabhu Gyan, knowledge of the full opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adhika, greater, hoy becomes dashe in the transcendental mellow of servitude. All right, here we are. Translation: on the platform of Shantarasa, one realizes only his constitutional position. Swarupa Jnana. But when one is raised to the platform of Dasya Rasa, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that would be Purnaishvarya Prabhujnana. Okay? All right, we're going to have a bit of a progression here, going up through Vatsalya Rasa. Ishvara Jnana Sambhrama Gaurava Prachur Seva Kari Kishne Shukadena Nirantara. On the Dasya Rasa platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering service unto Lord Krishna, the devotee in Dasya Rasa gives constant happiness to the Lord. So that's more detail about the nature of Dasya Rasa. And it also expresses something of the result of Dasya Rasa. It pleases Krishna. Sukkadena Nirantara. Shantira guna dasi ache adhika sevan atayva dasya rasir e dui guna. The qualities of Shantarasa are also present in Dasya Rasa. But service is added. Thus, the Dasya Rasa platform contains the qualities of both Shantarasa and Dasya Rasa. Okay, so now we're going to get a sort of cumulative value suggested from one rasa to another. Shantir guna dasyer sevan shakye dui hoy dasyer sambrahma gaurava seva sakye vishvasmoy. The qualities of Shantarasa and the service of Dasya Rasa are both present on the platform of Sakya Rasa. On the platform of fraternity, the qualities of Dasya Rasa are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. Okay, it's getting a little more complicated now. Okay, let's move on. We'll keep going and then we'll see what all this is about. Kande chode, chode, kande chodai, kore kridarano, Krishna sebe, Krishna korai, apana sebano. On the Sakya Rasa platform, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord's service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. In their mock fighting, the cowherd boys would sometimes climb on Krishna's shoulders, and sometimes they would make Krishna climb on their shoulders. Yeah. Or one might think the other way around. One would make... anyway... Who's making whom do what? Vishramba pradana shakya gaurava sambrahmahina ataiva shakya rasir tina guna chihna. Awe and veneration are absent on the platform of fraternity, since this rasa is predominated by service imbued with confidence. Therefore, Sakya Rasa is characterized by the qualities of three rasas. All right. And verse 225. Mamata adhika krishne atma shamagyan ataiva Sakya Rasir vasya bhagavan. On the platform of Sakya Rasa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is controlled by the devotees who are intimate with him and think themselves equal to him. So Now we get to a kind of new stage. The Lord is controlled by the Sakya Rasa Bhakta. But continuing, Vatsalye Shantaraguna Dasher Sevano She Sevane Ihanama Palano. On the platform of parental love, the qualities of Shantarasa, Dasyarasa, and Sakyarasa are transformed into a form of service called maintenance. Palana. Palana, Prabhupada's translating as maintenance, can also mean protection. All right. It continues. Shakya guna ashankocha agoravashara mamatarikye tarana bartsana babohara. The essence of fraternal love is intimacy, devoid of the formality and veneration found in Dasyarasa. Due to a greater sense of intimacy, the devotee functioning in parental love chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. This is a very strange religion where you chastise God. Apanar palakagan kishne palyagan chari gune vatsalya rasa amrita shaman. On the platform of parental love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance like a son, and therefore this mellow is full of the qualities of four rasas, Shantarasa, Dasyarasa, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. And now we have a purport. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a short summary of this complicated description of the different rasas. He states that by becoming firmly fixed in the Lord's service, one is devoid of all material desires. These are the two transcendental qualities on the Shantarasa platform. Just as a sound vibration is found in all the material elements, these two qualities of Shantarasa are spread throughout all the other transcendental mellows, which are known as Dasyarasa, Sakyarasa, Vatsalyarasa, and Madhuryarasa. So what are these two qualities that are pervading all of the rasas? Service? There's no service in Shantarasa. Okay, we'll read it again. He states that by becoming firmly fixed in the Lord's service, actually you're right, service, one is devoid of all material desires. So it's two things. It's attachment to Krishna and it's detachment from material existence. So these are going to pervade all of these rasas. Although in Shantarasa there is attachment for Krishna in awe and veneration, since the two valuable transcendental qualities of this rasa are attachment for Krishna and detachment from material desires, nonetheless, the sense of intimacy is lacking. The reason for this is that in Shantarasa, attachment for impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. In other words, the sense of intimacy by which one thinks of Krishna as one's only shelter and friend is absent in Shantarasa because one accepts Krishna as the impersonal Param Brahma or localized Paramatma. This understanding is based on the speculative knowledge of the jnani. However, when this knowledge is further developed, one is convinced that the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, is the master and that the living entity is his eternal servant. One then attains the platform of Dasya Rasa. In Dasya Rasa, the Lord is accepted with awe and veneration. Thus, the active service that is absent in Shanta Rasa becomes prominent in Dasya Rasa. In other words, in Dasya Rasa, the qualities of Shanta Rasa are present, and service also becomes prominently visible. Similarly, when this same rasa is developed into fraternity, sakya rasa, a friendly intimacy is added. There is no awe and veneration in sakya rasa. Therefore, sakya rasa is invested with the qualities of three rasas, shanta, dasya, and sakya. Similarly, on the platform of parental love, the qualities of shanta rasa, dasya rasa, and sakya rasa are fully developed in another form, the sense of maintaining the Lord. Therefore, on the platform of parental love, there exists a combination of the qualities of four transcendental mellows, shanta, dasya, sakya, and parenthood. The mellow of parenthood puts the devotee in the position of a maintainer. Indeed, without formality, the devotee takes the position of maintainer and regards the Lord as the object of maintenance. Thus, on the platform of parental love, the qualities of four transcendental mellows of love of Krishna are present. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, which is a summary or a translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport of the Amrita Pravaha Vatsya. So that's quite an earful. And as I was reading this, and first I read these verses, and then I was thinking, there's something here I'm not quite sure I'm getting. And then I was seeing, oh, there's a purport, and Bhaktivinoda summarizes the whole thing. Wow, great. This will make everything clear. And then I read through it, and I thought, oh, now I'm more confused. Because I don't know about you, but it seems to me there's a kind of contradiction, or at least an apparent contradiction. And I think it revolves around the question of what's being included in what and what's being excluded. In simple terms, as Prabhupada explains, what's pervading all of the rasas is the attitude of attachment to Krishna, and the consequent detachment from this world. So they're going together, and something is increasing from one to the next. So from Shantarasa to Dasya, to Sakya to Vatsalya, and then we'll hear later about Madhurya or Shringara Rasa. Something is increasing. So what's increasing? Intimacy, yes. Intimacy, but also I think we can say attachment is increasing. Incidentally, the word for intimacy is interesting. The word is mamata. And what does mamata literally mean? What does it come from? Mine. It's mine. He is mine. Mama means my. And usually we hear that that's not a good attitude to have, is it? To think I and mine, aham mama iti, aham mama iti, right? That's what we're trying to get rid of, deal with. But then everything gets turned around when it comes to the spiritual realm. Everything that's bad in this world becomes good in the spiritual world. Attachment here is bad. Attachment in the spiritual world is good. The more of it, the better. The more sense of mine-ness in the spiritual world, the better. Because why? That my-ness is it's the abstract form of mama is mamata, my-ness, literally, is a sense of ownership of the Lord. The Lord is mine. Now, this could sound like a kind of exclusiveness. He's mine only. But, of course, in the spiritual world, everything is without that sense of exclusion. Rather, there's a sense of inclusion. And in any case, the fact that intimacy is associated with minus, the sense of ownership, I think is significant. The sense that I own the Lord is very, it's very, you might say, counterintuitive, isn't it? Counterintuitive. You know what that means? It means it's against your common sense. You wouldn't think of owning God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the devotee in Krishna's intimate devotees feel that he's mine. And this goes to an extreme when it comes to Madhurya, an extreme which becomes infinitely intensified. I wanted to move back to Adi Lila, chapter 4. We've been reading or considering this some in our class on Chaitanya Charitamrita. In chapter 4 of Adi Lila, some of this discussion of the various rasas and their relationship comes up. This chapter is the confidential reasons for the Lord's appearance. It's about how the Lord decides, I want to appear in the world in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Why? Because here in the spiritual world, I've got everything except one thing. I don't have the experience of that love of Radha. And so I want to experience what that is, that intensity. And in Krishna's reflections on this subject, it is said, but if we compare the sentiments, the rasas, in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. So he's discussed these four others, and then he's saying, actually, let's face it, the conjugal rasa is the sweetest, adhika madhuri. And then he quotes, Krishnadas quotes from Rupa Goswami, who is being taught in what we're reading today by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then later writes as a result of what he learns, yatottaram aso svadha vishesho la samayi api ratir vasanaya svadvi bhasate kapi kasyachit. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the conjugal succession of desire. Wow. Sorry, no. Back up. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession, of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. I'll read that again. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another, but that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. So there is a distinction being made at the same time that Krishnadas says there is somehow a sense of equality at the same time. And he says, therefore, I call it Madhura Rasa. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love, as Prabhupada translates parakiya, or swakiya and parakiya, there is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Raja. So we get an increase of intensity, an increase of a sense of my-ness, if you like. And I think there's something else going on here. There's an increase in lawlessness. Right? And we see that very distinctly in the Madhurya Rasa, in the distinction between Svakya, which is lawful love, and Parakya, which is, you might say, outside the law. And we understand this as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's that lawless love of Parakya, which is the most interesting, which brings out Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, which brings out the essence of love. What is that? What is that power of love that we are after, that the Lord most wants to reciprocate? Now, my thoughts on all of this are quite jumbled, so bear with me, and let's just say we're exploring things. We're not necessarily coming to any final fixed point, but let's see what happens. Yesterday we received a copy of Gopinath Acharya's translation of chapter 3 of Kavikarnapura's drama, the Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka. Bhaktindragana kindly copied it for me. And I found some interesting passage here to share with you, which I think is relevant to all of this discussion of rasas. In the beginning of chapter 3, there's a discussion between, because this is an allegory, or part, on certain levels it's allegorical, so personalities of different principles are emotion, or emotions, feelings are there. So prema bhakti, devotion with love, as he translates it, is one personality. Speaking with maitri, which usually means friendliness, he's translating goodwill. And goodwill is very concerned that troubles have come for her and for her associates. And she meets with Prema Bhakti, who wants to reassure her that you're going to be all right. And she begins this by explaining the lineage of Maitri. Where have you come from? Who are your parents and grandparents? So devotion with love says, you'll have to consider this from the very beginning. God's grace was the father. Attachment to God's men was the mother. In time, they begot many children, and so they had a son named Discernment, which is Viveka in Sanskrit, and many daughters, all named Devotion. Discernment and his wife had a daughter, Anasuya, which means non-envy. And so, non-envy married Equanimity, Samatva, who is naturally pure, and gave birth to a daughter, you, Goodwill, Maitri, who gave me joy. And these daughters formed two groups, because some had rasa and some had not. The first, those without rasa, were numerous from their contact with the gunas. In other words, their somehow associated with material nature. Those with rasa divided into 10, and then he lists 10 rasas, and it's kind of interesting that the list is a bit different from that of Rupa Goswami. So they seem to have had different opinions. The rasas he mentions are the luminous, the wondrous, peace and humor, affection and parental affection. Actually lists six rasas here. When they find refuge in these, those six devotions, they are most proper and are the highest. Okay, what I wanted to get to is Maitri asks Prema Bhakti the following, and devotion with the rasa of love is the topmost? Here, love would be Prema. The word prema. Devotion with love, prema bhakti says, indeed. For whence all emotions, that means from where all emotions and all rasas emerge, and where they all merge back into, like waves in the ocean, that is called prema. All rasas are fragments of bliss. But this is said to be bliss in its completeness. This means prema. So, these rasas we were just reading about, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, these, according to Kavi Karnapura, are fragments of ananda, of bliss, but this, namely prema, is said to be bliss in its completeness. In the complete, the fragments appear, each individually present. So prema is inclusive, as we've also been reading. There's this principle of inclusiveness. It's like also this scale or this progression we hear about of the practice of bhakti, ado shraddha tata sadhu sangota tato bhajana kriya tato anarti nivritti syat tato nishta ruchistata, and so on. It's progressive, it's cumulative. It's not that you start with shraddha and then once you've got shraddha you pass on to bhajana kriya and you give up the shraddha. You know, oh, I had that shraddha last week. I'm moving on to something better now. No, you're increasing the shraddha. And when it finally gets to prema, whoa, there's so much shraddha. You're exploding with shraddha. Bursting with shraddha. Anyway, the point here is all rasas are fragments of bliss, but this is said to be the bliss in its completeness. Prema bhakti is what it's all about. And we find out from Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 17, Adi Lila, verse 75, you can look it up, that Krishna is not satisfied with karma, he's not satisfied with jnana, he's not satisfied with yoga. What is he satisfied with? Bhakti, but what kind of bhakti? Prema bhakti rasa. He is interested in prema bhakti rasa. He's interested in that. That's what satisfies Krishna. That's what pleases him. And that's what we're therefore interested in. Now, we're talking here about Shanta, Dasya, and so on, and the cumulative value or intensity and intimacy of these. And this leads me to think about, I've been thinking about the Ramayana a little bit. Maybe before I mention that, though, I should say, since after all, tomorrow is Narsingha Chaturdasi, a great festival celebrated by all of us, and especially in places where Narsingadev appears in his very large deity form. I think it's interesting that Prahlad is associated with or is identified with Vatsalya Rasa kind of in reverse. We heard from Srila Prabhupada that Vatsalya is the sense of palana, right? What is palana? Maintenance or protection. Prabhupada mentions that Vatsalya is both, it works both ways. You can have Vatsalya Rasa with Krishna, considering Krishna to be your protector. Yeah, that's possible. And that's Prahlad's mood, of course, in relation to Krishna, in relation to Nrisingadeva, in relation to Narayana, in general, if you like, is obviously that the Lord is my protector. So that's, it doesn't work only one way, it can work the other way as well. Anyway, I thought that's interesting. Well, in Ramayana, of course, we have the wonderful account of Rama and Sita and their separation. And what I find interesting in the context we're speaking of here, of specifically Dasya Rasa, we understand that Hanuman represents, he is a model, he is an ideal representative of or practitioner of which rasa? Dasya Rasa. But this Dasya Rasa, what is Hanuman doing in his mood of Dasya Rasa? What's his mission? Yes. Save the monkeys? Well, that might be part of it, although I wouldn't say that's central to his mission. Yes, rescuing Sita? Okay. And what's that about? Why rescue Sita? To unite Rama and Sita. Yes. And why unite Rama and Sita? They belong together to please Lord Ram. Yes, of course. In fact, Hanuman is always meditating on service to Rama, and so he wants to please Rama. How can he best do it? By bringing Sita back. And so his mission is, first of all, to find Sita. He is searching, and he is a messenger. He is bringing a message from Rama to Sita. And what is the message? Huh? Well, that's the message he brings back to Rama. But what's the message that he brings from Rama to Sita? Yes, Rama is coming. But of course, he then suggests, actually, if you like, I can just carry you back. It'll make everything easier. And Sita says, no way, I don't sit on the backs of monkeys. And Rama has to come and get me. He spaced out. He lost me. Now he's got to come and get me again. Anyway, the point being simply that we see something of this inclusiveness of all of the rasas in the Adi Rasa, which is Madhurya or Shringara Rasa, in the example of Hanuman, in that his mission is very explicitly to bring Sita and Rama together. One can also see this in all of the associates of the Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. All of them are engaged one way or another in bringing Krishna and Radha together. Even if they seem to be trying to keep them apart, they're actually trying to bring them together. When Jatila and her associates are trying to keep them apart, it's really to make it sweeter when they can slip out and meet together. This lawlessness is, what's the word? It's enhanced. It's made more challenging by the apparent lawfulness that goes on, or the attempt to create or to maintain law of some sort in the spiritual world. Hanuman. Lakshmana would be another case. I won't discuss him now in relation to Sakyabhama. And Vishwamitra, I think, would be an interesting person to think about. Of course, there's Dasharatha, but Vishwamitra is also a kind of Vatsalya character, but in his case, it's Rama and Lakshmana who are protecting Vishwamitra when they are taken by him into the forest. I want to just end with a bit of a jump to something else I'm a little bit occupied with these days, because I thought you might be interested, and this is in relation to Hanuman. There is in China a tradition which goes back some centuries of there being a monkey who does wonderful things. And he is described in a novel which appeared around the time that Krishnadas Kaviraj was writing his Chaitanya Charitamrita. This novel is called the Shi Yo Ju. Otherwise known as The Journey to the West. And it's a journey to the West from China, means a journey to India, because it's a kind of a novel adventure embellishment of something which is historical, and that is that one monk, not a monkey, but a monk, a Buddhist monk, traveled in the 6th, 7th century, or 5th, 6th century, to India from China. Xuan Tsang went to India. He stayed around 17 years. He collected manuscripts of Buddhist literature, brought it back to China, and the emperor showered him with honors and employed him for the rest of his life to translate those texts. That story became expanded in the Shi Yo Ju, the Journey to the West. And from our perspective, we might say that Hanuman appears there in the form of Sun Wu Gong. Sun Wu Gong is the monkey king, who is a really mischievous fellow, who has many, many, many adventures as he assists this monk to go to India to find these manuscripts. It's a huge novel, which I'm just beginning a summary of to read. But he becomes a prisoner in heaven. Hanuman, you know, becomes momentarily a prisoner where? Huh? Yes, in Ravana's palace in Lanka. He becomes a prisoner and he tries to break out. Celestial beings of this Chinese heaven are desperate. What are we going to do to, you know, control this fellow? So they call in the Buddha, and the Buddha says, "Hey, you, Sun Wu Gong, come here. I have a little. Let's play a game." He takes him, this monkey, into his hand and says, "Let's see if you can jump out of my hand." Well, by this time, this monkey has many siddhis, many mystic powers, one of which is to jump very long distances, 54,000 kilometers he can jump in one jump. And he holds a staff which is weighs 8 tons, 8,000 pounds, 8,000 kilos, which he can also change the shape of to make the size of a needle if he wants, and he keeps it in his ear. And sometimes he sews his cloth with it, and other times he does other things. So he said, let's see if you can jump out of my palm. So he says, pah, of course I can do that. So he leaps, makes this huge leap to the ends of the world, and there he finds these five massive columns. And there he inscribes on the column a message to indicate that he has been there. And then he leaps back and he says, ha, so I did it. He's back in the palm. And then the Buddha kind of, I guess, curls his fingers. And then he looks and he sees that what he had inscribed on those columns way out there are inscribed in each of the five fingers of the Buddha's hand. So in other words, the Buddha had expanded his hand out there. He had never left his palm. So like that, all these fantastic stories are there. Anyway, his rasa, if you like, is also that of servitude. Ultimately, he's serving this monk in order to get these manuscripts, in order to spread the Buddha Dharma in China, which my sense is, from my visits to China, is really Krishna's arrangement for the Chinese people. The Lord appears in the form of Buddha to make it possible for people to advance spiritually. And it's actually, some features are quite wonderful culture. One of them is this notion of filial piety. Let's see, I noted the term for this. Oh, yes. In what is later associated with Confucianism, with Confucianism, filial piety is called xiao. Xiao. And this then leads to the notion of wu lun, wu lun. You have to get the pitches right, otherwise you may be cursing someone or saying some nasty words, and you can be in big trouble. So they have the sense of five relationships, five wu lun, and this makes me think of the five main rasas. Not that I'm not saying they're by any means the same, but these are relationships between the ruler and the ruled, between the father and the son, between the husband and the wife, between the elder brother and the younger brother, and between friend and friend. Notice that four of these are relations of inequality. Only one of them is of equality. So there's very strong sense in Chinese culture of hierarchy, and that it is the duty of the inferior to serve the superior person. So there's a lot of understanding of dasya rasa, we might say, if we use our terminology. Okay, with that jumble of strange thoughts, maybe you have some more strange thoughts to add. In any case, we're leading in a progression, obviously, and I guess for ourselves, our lesson today is that I think what we're trying to learn in Krishna consciousness is to participate in Krishna's transcendental lila, and that means we tend to emphasize dasya as we practice vaidhi sadhana, and that's okay, because if we're keeping aware that we are however far removed from Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, and we're actually not so far removed after all. Here they are, and we are here. With all the services that we do, we are assisting in the bringing together of them, and so this becomes very pleasing to the Lord. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Any further points or questions or corrections? Yes. Vatsalya? Yeah, yeah. One would see the Lord as one's father or equivalent of father, so to say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Prahlad is seeing the Lord in some sense like father, protector. And I think that's interesting if we wanted to do any interfaith discussion with the Semitic religions. The Abrahamic traditions are very much into God as Father. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. Where is that? In his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, I think, where he was exploring some of these comparative ideas, because he was confronted by, you know, the Christian missionaries were charging into India and saying, "Your religion, no good, no good." So this inspired Bhaktivinoda Thakur and many of his colleagues, compatriots, to take a fresh look at their tradition and say, "Wait a minute, no, we have a wonderful tradition. In fact, it's so comprehensive." But he also made some, let's say, explorations in comparison, in making a connection, relation. And with this, specifically, if I remember correctly, he spoke of the Christian idea of God as Father, as being a kind of Vatsalya, something like that. Yes. What? Sorry? Oh, conditioned rasas. What is our rasa when we are still conditioned? That was the question. Prabhupada would always say it is dormant. It is not that we're developing some rasa, but rather it's already there and it's dormant. And in the introduction to Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says that everything we do is because of some taste. We don't do anything unless we get some taste out of it. And so those tastes of the material world, we understand, are somehow related to, and I think Prabhupada often would use the word in a perverse way, they're perversions of the transcendental rasas. And that's why we can understand a lot about the transcendental rasas. When we hear about friendship, we understand, friends. I have friends, and we relate like that. And we joke with each other, and we climb on each other's shoulders. We see it all the time here in Radhadesh. No. You might say also that whatever experience of taste we have in this world is a faint reflection of that original rasa. And that means that we can, at this moment, make immediate connection to Krishna. Because whatever rasa we have, it must have some connection to Krishna. And if we can be aware of that, try to see how that connection might be there, then that is yoga. Yes. Is that all right? Manohar ji, yes. You probably got it right, and I probably got it wrong. Yes. Well, that's where the confusion is. Something is increasing, but something is getting different each time also, isn't it? So, increasing or just different. But anyway, what's your question? I guess what I'm trying to say with this is one way to resolve the contradiction is to see that, where's that contradiction, first of all? We might ask, how might there be vatsalya within Madhurya, right? Where indeed there is this lording over, and that's certainly different from the sense of equality, which is there in Sakya, and that's again different from the sense of dasya, which is service. Okay, we can see service. We can see Sakya, Vatsalya. So, if you take Vrindavan as a whole and take all the associates together as an aggregate and see that all of the associates are one way or another contributing to the Adi Rasa, as it's called, of Madhurya Prema Bhakti, then it sort of works out. So the parents and the older gopas and older gopis and everybody, one way or another, they're all pitching in their different ways to enrich and expand that Madhurya. If you took away, if you took Jatila and who's her con. Kutila, yeah. If you took Jatila and Kutila away, the Parakiya Bhava wouldn't be there. You'd be left with, you know, yeah, it's okay. You know, it just wouldn't work out. That has to be that obstacle has to be there for that Parakiya Bhava to happen. So everyone, the demons are also contributing, aren't they? They're making it. Actually, they're bringing in the possibility for Krishna to exhibit his virya within the context of Sakya, right? Because he's always with his friends, and they're having a good time together, and then along comes Denukasura, and what should we do with this guy? Grab him by the feet and swing him around until he loses his life. Oh, that was fun. And then that, you know, somehow, and then the gopis are amazed at that, you know, they're behind the trees, you know, with their hiding themselves, and goes, oh, Krishna, Balaram, so wonderful, you know, and Krishna is kind of Balaram. So it's all part of the big show. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shraddha, Shraddha, yes, it's usually translated as faith. It literally means placing in the heart, or what is placed in the heart, or placing the heart. Shraddha, heart, dha is placing, or so yeah. That's another subject. Thank you all very much, and have a good day. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.